The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology here on webmasterradio.fm. It is Thursday, February the 3rd. It's 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, top of the hour if you're listening on a podcast. Well, actually, it could be any bloody time if you're listening on a podcast. How the hell do we know? But welcome to Webcology. I'm joined by Dave Davies from Beanstalk Inc. And this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. Dave, how you doing this overcast Friday, Thursday morning?
You know, when I wake up in the morning and I see that drizzle and gray, there's that first instinct in me to go, oh, this kind of sucks. You know, it's not the kind of day that I want to wake up to. And then I think to myself, hey, you just came back from Toronto. I used to live in Ottawa, and I have tons of friends across the rest of Canada. And they got, when they're thinking 15, they're thinking centimeters of snow on the ground, not degrees Celsius outside. So, you know, misery in other people somehow makes me feel good about myself in this instance, and I go, yeah, I could be them.
You know what, brother? It's not just Canada. It is, I'd say, about two-thirds of the United States is buried under blech right now. All of eastern Canada is anywhere east of the mountains buried under blech right now. Chicago got slammed last night, humbled by a snowstorm. It's not just in Canada anymore. Pity.
No, and so that little gray that we've got going on, the light drizzle, I'll take it. You know, I've also got cherry blossoms coming in on the trees.
I was walking up the street. I'm in Victoria. This is my first week back in Victoria in like about almost two years. And I'm walking up the street last night looking at blossoms coming out on the trees. Little buds coming out on the... Wow! I was in Calgary last week, where it's not so warm. And I was in Ottawa the week before, where it's, like, really not so warm. And so, yeah, we're blessed to live here. And I'm actually only 8 blocks away from you this time, as opposed to, like, you know, 4 or 5 time zones.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Crazy. And pleasure to see you last week. But I don't know that this is what... our listeners have joined us to hear. You and I, we can go grab a coffee now that you're back in this fair city. But our listeners, they're probably wondering what the heck's going on, and can we provide some maybe insight into a few issues today? That's just
well,
my guess.
Let's start with the smaller, more local stuff first, and then move into more global or more continental than global stuff. What I've got on the on my agenda today, and something I'm just blown away to see, the Conservative government in Canada, Stephen Harper's government, has decided to intervene in a decision that would have placed user-based charges or usage-based charges on internet billings.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Canada, we have, much like the FCC in the States, we have a commission called the Canadian Radio and Telecommunications Commission, the CRTC. And the CRTC has the power to allow or disallow billing practices in and around the telecommunications industry. So if, say, the major trunk provider, the company that owns most of the fiber, Bell Canada, wants to raise rates, data rates, on that fiber. Before doing that, it has to apply to the CRTC because this will affect tens of millions of Canadian consumers. Earlier this year, the Canadian Radio and Telecommunications Commission gave Bell Canada the right to charge usage-based data fees on your standard internet. That means somebody who is, say, using the internet to send emails and look at pictures of cats probably wouldn't affect them. They're not really using that much data. But somebody who's using the internet as a device like I am right now, I'm doing this radio show over Skype, that eats a lot of bandwidth. I also watch television online. I don't have a cable connection coming into my apartment. I use the internet to watch television when I wish to. I produce videos for clients. So I'm using a lot of bandwidth. I'm not like a BitTorrent freak, but I'm using a lot of bandwidth. I would have had to pay substantially more under the new rules, as would anybody who is a high bandwidth user, than the person who's just using the internet to send emails or look at pictures of cats. I'm a Canadian business. I, again, use higher data, higher amounts of bandwidth and data than most users. But I'm still paying a very pretty penny for my internet connection. If Bell Canada was allowed to raise the rates to usage-based ratings or charging on its trunk line, all the smaller ISPs who are leasing space from Bell Canada would have had to pass those charges onto their users, their consumers. That would have made Canada's internet rates go through the roof. Now, this mightn't be of interest to American listeners until you understand that all the American ISPs were looking north to see what the experience would be up here before trying to introduce similar charges in the States and around the world. Well, the Canadian government stepped in, the Conservative government in Ottawa, Prime Minister Stephen Harper, and has told the CRTC to reverse its decision or the government will do it for them. So Canadians, that means status quo. You're going to be paying what you were paying last month, next month. You won't have to pay through the nose if you're a power user. I think this is a major victory for consumers, but Dave, given that you and I tend to take opposite stances on this, I'm curious about your take on this.
Your average consumer, I think you hit the nail on the head here. Your average consumer, my grandma, my dad, they email. They might view, watch YouTube and stuff like that, but they're, fairly average, low bandwidth users. I don't think they're going to be affected. I mean, heck, my grandma has like the, Shaw Lite, right? Like it's like five times faster than a modem, right? I mean, it's that kind of user. So I don't think users like that are going to be affected. Now, one thing I do or would have liked had we gone to a pay-for type model, which I know you're cringing right now going, oh God, what's he about to say? Because whatever it is, it's going to be horrible and I'm going to prepare for an argument. But I think we can agree here. Right now, the Canadian ISPs have the right to throttle specific types like torrents, where they actually can legally, as long as it's included in the contract somewhere that they, have this right to throttle specific types of traffic, they can. And you know that if they went to a pay-for model, they would just sort of be whatever, gobble all you can kind of thing. So I think in a weird way, some consumers, your BitTorrent freaks, as you call them, will end up getting an inferior product, and we can get into net neutrality and how this can also cascade in other areas, but they will actually get an inferior product and not have that ability to go, you know what, I'm willing to pay for this because, frig, they're going to ding me 30 cents for a gigabyte of data. Well, heck, that's cheaper than renting this movie, right, and downloading it off of BitTorrent. So if you are one of those types of users, you actually may find yourself in an inferior spot with no way out of it because you're going to be throttled regardless of what you try and do. So in some ways, it actually would have opened the door for a more free usage of the internet, albeit predominantly the illegal usage of the internet. But nonetheless, as a consumer, I would have had that right. What I imagine we would have seen is packages set up with specific allotments of bandwidth, as we normally would, and then charging for overage, a lot like, and I'm sure you remember it, the earlier days, and you can still find them occasionally, but the earlier days of hosting where it was, you have 2 gigs of bandwidth, and then you're charged at whatever, $3 per gig over that or whatnot. I think we would have seen a system arise a lot more like that. Would I have preferred it? Probably. I personally probably would have liked it. I understand why you would view that as a victory for net neutrality, and in fact it is. It is a Canada-wide victory for net neutrality sanctioned by the government. I don't feel that I personally am going to benefit from this. I would have liked the free sort of Wild West attitude that would have been, if I want more, I'll have more and I'll pay for it. If I don't want to get dinged for overage, well, I just got to watch what I'm doing. And I imagine we would have seen packages come up for people like you. That would, you know, I'm a heavy Skype user. Okay, well, here's a package that includes Skype, and we know when you're going on these ports and blah, 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 and so your bandwidth is higher, and you won't, you know, be charged on these specific ports, right? Unlimited through specific segments of your internet experience. I imagine we would have seen that arise fairly quickly. We'll never know, because the government, as governments do, felt them to step in and sort of meddle in things, and I think we would have been better off had they just left it well enough alone and left the economy to go. Now, one argument you could make, and I think this is fair, and it doesn't exist quite the same in the United States, is that we do pretty much have a monopoly, like a monopolistic situation where Bell could basically walk in and go, you're all screwed, we're doing what we want. That doesn't exist to that same degree in the States, so my mentality, I think, does work a little better there. You may have seen more aggressive and maybe non-beneficial attitudes and policies taken in by Bell had they had that opportunity. We'll never know. But I don't think if the Americans are going to model after our experience, I don't think it's a direct lateral, because they do have a different competitive situation going on. There's definitely some very, very, you know, fewer players than maybe there should be, but there's definitely more than there is up here. So, there's sort of my take on the entire thing.
Well, okay, there you go. So anyway, the bottom line, Canadian consumers, you're not getting it. You're not being put over a barrel in the next couple of months. I'm sure that Bell Canada will try to come out with a new type of billing scheme. Maybe it'll be fair, maybe it won't. The usage-based fees were seen by majority of Canadian businesses and consumers as remarkably unfair. And we should move on. But before we do, the one thing, and Dave, I hope you can understand why this scares me so much. It's not as much about the charging. It's about how they have to do it. And it's the same fear I have around throttling. How do they know who you are? How do they know which signals belong to you?
You know, valid point. Valid point. And I mean, oddly,
inspection is how.
Though I would love to, it's one of those cases where, and I think everybody's in that spot where they can go, well, I wish I just made the rules, because the path forward seems so straightforward. Like, wouldn't it be great if I was dictator, because I'd be benevolent, and heck, we'd have some great laws passed, right?
I
think we all have that tendency where I would love to see a system where it's like, your email can't be monitored, or regulated, and you have unlimited use of your email. Not violating spam. We're talking normal email use. You know, I have unrestricted access to going and surfing the web and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it'd be great if I, as a consumer, and the telcos as telcos, could come up with different ways of dealing with things like torrents, with things like streaming video, with things that, you know, if we could go, yes, okay, you as a consumer have your rights to these things. But the telcos are not talking about those. They're talking about BitTorrent freaks. They're talking about, you know, these people here. Now, right now, they can throttle them. Wouldn't it be great for me as a consumer if I could go in and go, here's an extra 100. For goodness sake, stop throttling me. Just let me do what I need to do. It'd be great if we could divide it up that way. That's not the environment we live in. So hopefully that'll change.
Interesting punch-up started happening amongst Google and Bing the other day. A rather funny dust-up in the media, and now that seems to have extended from YouTube to Amazon. And that was, well, I don't know if any of us really know the right story here, but about 4 days ago, I think on Monday, Danny Sullivan over at Search Engine Land broke a story about a sting operation Google had set up to catch Bing allowing Google search results to play a part in the way Bing calculated its own search results. So as I understand it, Bing was polling Google toolbar numbers using a Google API and allowing or and using the information that they got from the Google toolbar API they were using to influence the way their search engine produced results. So Google says that they set up a sting and they catch Bing red-handed doing this. Bing in turn says, no, you didn't. And even if you did, I love that, no, you didn't, but even if you did, we're just using publicly available user data to, you know, formulate the best possible search results we can give the consumer. So Google tries to make a big deal out of it, doesn't seem to go anywhere. Bing shoots back going, yeah, but you do it too. Google says, no, we don't. And as it turns out, being reported today over at WebPro News by the writer Chris Crum, Google reportedly recycles Amazon algorithm for YouTube results. So, yeah. Who's pointing at who is pointing at whom? Why can't these people just, like, get together and say, okay, yeah, so we all look at it. Seriously, this is so stupid.
I don't even know what to say about this. Is anybody surprised? No. What are the legal ramifications? That's, of course, a question that we do have to ask, because how much of this is actual, rights of, like, can I just steal Google's algorithm if I want? or show their results but pretend they're mine, sort of thing, without giving that proper credit. Yeah, I understand that there may be some legal ramifications there.
But they weren't doing that. They were just using data to influence their own rankings. They weren't actually replicating Google's placements.
That's it. And I mean, that's really the call here, right, is that they're not doing that. And yeah, their signals, when I'm monitoring what people click on in Google and see, hey, when they click through to this, they stick around, just like Google would be doing with their own results. Well, there we are. And you can't tell me, in all honesty, I mean, I haven't seen such a thorough thing, but you can't tell me Google's not kind of doing the same thing with just general traffic patterns. Is Google really, with their toolbars and stuff, really only monitoring when a person is at Google and what they click on and then what they do from there? Or are they monitoring generalized traffic across the web, right? I mean, of course they are. They'd be stupid not to, and they're not stupid. That's why they're huge. So
well,
they're doing the same thing.
In fact, we know they are.
Yeah.
We know that they're monitoring. Once you sign into Gmail or Google Analytics, we know that everything you do is monitored. Thereafter, you can clear your cookies every session. And the moment you log into a Google loyalty product like Analytics or Gmail or what have you, you get the 2035 universal cookie that tracks.
Why don't we take a quick commercial break, get this sorted out so that our listeners can be entertained by the wonderful commercials that come on Webmaster Radio. And we'll come back, and Jim's voice will be correct, and we can continue right on.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break. Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs sends you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
It's time again to make your plans to be at SES New York 2011. SES New York 2011 makes its way to the New York Hilton March 21st to the 25th. SES New York 2011 will feature over 70 sessions, over 100 exhibitors, and networking. networking opportunities with thousands of marketing and search engine optimization professionals. SES New York 2011 will start with a high-profile opening keynote from Yahoo's principal research scientist, Duncan Watts. Thursday, March 25th is the Online Marketing Summit's All Things Digital Best Practice Day, which features a full day of premium breakout sessions. Don't delay. Come to SES New York 2011, March 21st to the 25th, inside the New York Hilton. Register right now at searchenginestrategies.com and get 20% off your registration when you use promo code WMR20. Register right now at searchenginestrategies.com and use promo code WMR20.
Your mission: initiate internet marketing measures. Your arsenal: the weapons of mass marketing.
Learn how to accomplish your internet marketing initiative with the do-it-yourself tools and directives from the commanding leaders of cyberspace. Weapons of Mass Marketing, presented by RavenTools.com. Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Well, big thanks to all of our listeners for sticking with us through that extended commercial break. We've got all of our technical issues dealt with. This is Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO here with Jim Hedger. Jim, how's it going, my friend? Can we hear you properly now?
I don't know. Am I back or not? I hate when that happens.
We hear you just fine. So thanks, everybody, again. And, now we've done all of our commercials. Let's delve right in here. Something I'm sure everybody is wondering about, or at least everybody who, you know, pays attention to what's going on at Google. Let's call that our entire listening base. We've got an update underway. I, of course, want to get to discussing that. For anybody who is not aware, because there are some sites where if you're just, you know, a webmaster optimizing your own site, you may not notice this as harshly if you are one of the people who's less affected. You may just view this as, hey, you know, my site moved a couple positions in one direction or another. Hey, this morning it went back to where it was, whatever. The update that's here, as an SEO who's monitoring, you know, hundreds of sites and not just one or two, is a very significant one. There are some debates as to what it is meant to cover. One thing is really, really clear. Two things are really, really clear and have been made more clear as of some corrective portions of this update as of this morning. One is, and this comes straight out of Google, is that this update is meant to combat web spam. This we know. A lot of that has to do with content. This we know. And these are things that we don't know, like, gee, this is Dave's opinion as an SEO. This is, we know it because Google told us, and then we can also see that through some of the effects of it. And point three, and here's the distressing portion of the entire thing and why we're going to see continued chaos probably for at least the next few days, if not week or so, is that there is disproportionate collateral damage, i.e. there are sites being significantly affected in both directions, sites being completely dropped multiple pages, sites launching up multiple pages that shouldn't. There's significant collateral damage. So this update, now you know the folks at Google are well aware of this, needs to be fixed. So the pendulum will continue to swing. For those who've been kind of watching it and monitoring a few sites, you'll all have seen, you know, a few days ago, significant dramatic changes as of this morning on multiple data centers and multiple